B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
But still, not a good look for the young man.
No,
it's not.
And not even the most disturbing news out of the Cowboys yesterday. Did you see this one?
Oh, what do you got?
According to Slater NFL from the NFL Network, Dak Prescott apparently revealed that his pregame meal is ranch dressing and spaghetti.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
That's serial killer stuff.
That is actually old news.
Wait, whose is it?
Oh, I just saw it last night.
Yeah, no, but here's the deal. I saw the same thing, and I saw people run with it. This was something that came out a little over a year ago.
Oh.
And he made the announcement, because I forget what the context that they had, but he was like, yeah, my favorite like, they literally had him on camera, and he was admitting this into a camera that was recording for distribution wherever, and he's like, yeah, I can't go on the field without my pregame meal. I think he said spaghetti and chicken and spaghetti with ranch dressing. Now look, I'll be honest. If I'm in a buffet line, like when we would work for NBC, right, uh-huh. Big buffet lines, sometimes a little bit of ranch would touch the spaghetti. If that was the case, right?
Like, are you about to support this?
No, I'm not.
Oh,
but I would be like, well, that's not terrible, whatever. But I would never go out of my way to make that as a meal for myself.
You have family members listening right now. You're aware, right?
Yes.
Oh my God, this is something definitely see through. So weird.
The pants,
yeah.
The shorts,
yeah.
Yeah, this good is study by Trey.
He's really breaking it down over there.
He is. Yeah. Frame by frame.
And there's a thong with a see-through type this situation going
so
on.
So it is see-through.
Yeah.
I bet her cheeks led to the argument.
Yes, that definitely, I think that had a little something to do with it.
Absolutely.
And Ezekiel looks like he's been, a little lit.
He's walking on his heels more than his toes.
He's wobbling around a little bit.
Yeah.
Even when he bumped into the guy, I really do think it was a fanny pack, and then he gave him a little shoulder at the end.
Yeah.
But it was more of a drunk.
But the other part of it is, if you see the people leaving the concert, they're all kind of dressed similar to his lady.
Yeah, so I don't know.
There's a lot of skin showing.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of party this is that he's going to here.
It's the Daisy Carnival or something like that? The electronic...
Daisy Duke Carnival?
No, Daisy Duke, she covered the cheeks.
That was an electronic music fest?
So I believe so.
So a lot of MDMA and Molly going on.
Yeah, a lot of Molly's, the glow sticks.
I don't want to accuse.
I'm not saying he is. I'm saying a lot of the people in attendance probably were.
Probably.
Yeah. And they're all in there...
Probably.
All right, let's get what a transition. Let's get Sam in here
from Butt Cheeks and Electronic Music Fest. Sam, come on down
to Carson Wentz. Is where we're going next, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, you are listening to 97.
How cool is that?
You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WP in Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Panther East and Black Cat Fasteners. Attention contractors, get job site delivery on all your tools, supplies, equipment, and fall protection gear. Shop online at PantherEast.com. Sam, we do have our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. What do you have for us?
This morning we asked, what are your early expectations for Carson Wentz? An MVP caliber season, just solid or still recovering on the year? And we have just under 1,000 votes so far. 52% say MVP caliber season.
Wow. Good. 52. What else we got?
Then 41% said he'll be solid, and only 7% said still recovering.
And then you get the other guys, recovering? Like Daryl, that says, where's the underperforms while healthy or overrated buttons?
Okay, we get four options, and I don't even like doing three.
A lot of people are saying, where's the just underperform option?
Well, then comment. That's what you do.
Well, they're doing it.
It's called Twitter, people. You write it in, we'll read it out loud, and we'll make sure we get your opinion in. But as much as I want to go MVP caliber season... I just I think the people that are saying the underperform are thinking that he's a bust. And I don't think Carson Wentz is a bust. I don't think he's a flash in the pan type of quarterback that shows a lot of promise in his early part of his career. And then all of a sudden, oh, why'd we trade up for this guy, right? I'm not going there. And that's where I think a lot of people are going, that he's just an overrated quarterback.
He underperformed last year.
Certainly.
We would all agree.
But
because of the back injury.
He was still recovering.
Yes. And
was in the process of being hurt.
And his numbers were still, he didn't play well, but his numbers were still relatively good.
Yeah.
For a guy that was very hurt, coming off a knee surgery and playing with a broken back.
Like, I asked...
Boss hasn't even entered my mind.
But I think some people are going that direction.
Oh, absolutely they have.
And they're jumping ship already. But I asked Carson about it last year at the end of the season, and he said throughout the entire year, even before the back injury, that he was thinking about the knee. It's not something, and now look, before the season, it was a different story. Oh, I don't even think about it, I'm just playing football. And after the season, he admitted that he was still thinking about the knee injury. And Trey, if you have a big old brace on your knee, how are you not thinking about it? How do you just put that in the wayside?
I wore knee braces all the time, every day, all day, so it didn't really bother me. But I guess when it comes to those skill positions like that, that is something that's on your mind, especially when the first three games that you come back, you get sacked 13 times, hit 30-something other times, you know? And then your next three games, you get sacked another 13 times, you know? So, you know, his first couple games back, he was getting lit up. So I can understand why you're like, man, can my body hold up to this? Mm-hmm. And just, you know, coming back from that injury, I know he was pushing, like, I don't know what, to get back on the field, you know? And, you know, when you don't have, when you can't practice, you can't get all that live fire. I mean, a lot of that helps with your confidence and the strength of your knee. So I think that had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, and here's the question he gets asked. So when did you forget that you were wearing a knee brace? When I broke my back.
Yeah, right.
And that hurt worse.
Pretty
you
much.
You know, that's his season in a nutshell right there.
Yeah, but I wouldn't expect him to just forget about it. And it was one of those things, and you talk about, you know, Trey, so we're getting into the argument of who cares what they say, more or less. Mm-hmm. The common sense says Carson Wentz was going to be ready to go by training camp or OTAs, whatever. So, yeah, that's true. But I would like the team to acknowledge it. But still on that same note, Carson said before the season that he wasn't thinking about the knee anymore. At the end of the season, he said he was still thinking about the knee. How could you not? Mm-hmm. Especially, and to your point, Bob, yeah, the back injury kind of took over, I think. But if you're injured and you're still trying to come back from one thing and you can't rely on that other muscle, or in this case, this other joint, these other ligaments to be healthy, and you're going to put more stress on them, how are you not thinking about it? If you're trying to torque your body, right, to make up for a knee injury, and you hurt your back, or you hurt your back and now you're thinking about the knee more or less, whatever, you're looking at it like, well, what the hell do I have to do just to play well and be healthy? Like, that's the conundrum for Carson Wentz. I understand why it's something that he wouldn't stop thinking about. Like, yeah. I'd want him to just say, oh, no, I feel great, I can play. And he did say that. I didn't believe him.
And let's not forget what Zach Ertz said. It happened early. And then he, of course, you know, reiterated, went back to it and said, well, I misspoke. But that injury must have happened pretty early. I think we first have an injury report, that Giants game, week 3, 4, whatever it was.
Week 6, October 11th.
Okay.
Short week. Minnesota, I think, is when he started.
Exactly. Yeah. He took rest earlier than that. So, you know, this probably happened pretty early. He was not in a good way, body-wise, last year at all.
And he just didn't look right.
Well, yeah. I mean, thinking about a knee and you break your back.
Yeah.
That's not easy.
Well, it's one of those things where the way they talked about it, it wasn't suffered. Trey, maybe you know this. Mm. It wasn't suffered from impact. It was stress. Right, a stress fracture, and the stress could be an impact, I guess.
Yeah.
But apparently it was like a wear and tear type of thing. I don't know, that's an idiot explaining it. He was not a doctor.
36 hits.
Okay, so you do think
13 sacks.
So do you think it started with impact?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then a lot more impact. I mean, you know, his first couple of games, he got his ass knocked off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he was getting you saw some big hits. Carson took some really big hits. You know, and he took big hits the year before, too. So, I mean, you know, these are D tackles that's landing on him. So, you know, that's gonna wear down on you. But what I'm trying to figure out is, like, why was everybody so concerned when you knew that he was going to come back for these OTAs? I mean, just Googling. You know, all right, the time for, you know, just regular people having to recover from this type of situation, 3 to 4 months. He's had 6 months. His last game was December 9th. It's May 21st. I mean, you have time to recover. I don't understand why you wouldn't think that he wouldn't be back. I mean,
oh, no,
you know,
I thought he would.
4 months, even four months with surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Simple fractures, 4 weeks. Yeah, he was going to be back.
Right.
Well, I think we all thought he was going to be back. We just needed the team to confirm that.
The team, right. They like Google it.
I mean, you know, he's going to be back. Don't even ask.
That's the last thing they want us doing.
I know.
They want us Googling injuries.
He's gonna be back. And then we think
we understand.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be back. And like I said, if you polled all of Eagles fans across the world, right, they would all tell you, probably 99%, oh, yeah, Carson's going to be fine. He's going to start next season. He's ready for training camp. You know, drink some milk. But I think most people would be confident he'd be back, but the team wasn't acknowledging. And look, the fact of the matter is, they're still not acknowledging it. Well, so we'll see what gets said today. Mm-hmm. But Ian Rappaport releases the story that Carson Wentz is not going to have any limitations. And look, that's the first great thing that you've heard about the whole situation, because the franchise has been mum on everything else. They haven't given you one iota of information as to whether or not Carson Wentz is going to be ready to go by training camp. The fact that OTAs won't be limited, that's what I want to hear. That's what I should have heard a while ago. The fact that it was lingering at all, and they're trying to have gamesmanship after they already showed their cards. That's the thing I keep going back to. They already showed their cards last season by the fact that they didn't IR them.
There's no gamesmanship in OTAs.
Well, of course, with Doug Peterson, there is.
You know,
he even admitted to it last year.
You're giving a superior athlete, a professional athlete, 6 months to heal with no surgery.
Mm-hmm.
It's 6 months off season. Well,
yes, it seems obvious.
With no surgeries, no nothing, you know, just... All right, this is giving him 6 months to heal up to get his knee even stronger. And all right, let's find confidence in your base. So, yeah, I expect him to come in with no limitations. You still feel like it's his first year ever playing football.
All right, well, I want to go around the horn in a minute here with what we would vote, because I said solid. I can't go MVP caliber, but we'll go around the horn with Carson Wentz in terms of our early expectations for him. And then I do have to say this. Todd on Twitter says that his buddy works security at MetLife for some EDM or EMD concerts.
Are fishnet booty shorts the thing?
Apparently girls wear next to nothing to those shows.
I told you guys
I have
that.
I have worse news here.
What's that?
16-year-old Jenna, my daughter, who all know and love.
Oh, yeah. No, Bob.
My arch nemesis.
Texts me. Oh, she hates Jamie. Why are you guys making such a big deal about this? I mean, they're short, but they're not as short as you guys make them seem. They're just jean shorts. They're just tight. It's okay.
Did she see the shorts?
I said, jean shorts. You are never wearing anything like that in the history of your life.
Those are fishnets, and you can see this G-string.
They're see-through.
Well, you guys, it's not a thong. It's a bodysuit that connects.
Oh, it's like a onesie?
Yeah, so it's like a one-piece, kind of like onesie, yeah, but for a grown-up. But then she's wearing a fishnet.
But from the back. It looks like
she doesn't look like a grown-up from behind, Trey.
They are nothing a 16-year-old should even think are okay,
no,
Samantha.
No,
we're not
I agree
about
that.
Okay,
no,
thank you. About Zeke
Jenna,
Evans,
no!
Jenna, no.
Bob, did Jenna see the video?
I sent it to her, yes.
And she says she...
They're not that bad.
That's what she said?
She said we're being dramatic.
No,
let's pray for Bob.
That was totally
that's a
by
different.
Accident.
That's what
they
she said.
They aren't even that short.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Sure. I mean, they are short, but not as short as it's you guys super. Made them
Bob,
seem.
How many firearms do you own?
And not enough.
If it's not 10, you need 10 more.
What are her thoughts on the thong?
Uncle Trey.
Or the onesie thing.
We have now ventured into a conversation I didn't expect to go to. Jenna, God bless you. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll go around the horn on Carson Wentz's health and what we're all making of this story for me and Rappaport. Plus, Phillies with a huge victory last night. And we got to talk a little bit about those Golden State Warriors. Good God, what they did last night to the Portland Trail Blazers. Time of the Fanatic, 7:12.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning, 610-632-0975. Coming up, a bit of a personal issue I think I need some help with from you. I don't think I need your help.
You all right?
Oh, yeah, everything's fine. Everything's great.
Doesn't sound it.
Well, my wife's a little pissed at me. Just a little bit.
Ooh.
Understandable.
I mean, that's a strong
term.
Is it
the painting that you were carrying around by the old girlfriend that you wanted to hang up in the bathroom or something? with her initials prominently on the bottom right of the picture.
That came out in our Twitch post show cast, whatever you want to call it, yesterday.
A lot of things came out in that picture.
As the kids say, Bob nailed it. Yeah, that's what's exactly.
Oh, it's still lingering.
So
really,
she's not pissed, but I can tell she's bothered.
Oh yeah,
I give Celeste a lot of credit.
Pissed goes away, I think, after like kind of 24, 36 hours. Bothered?
Hangs
around for like 3-5 days.
Like a cold.
I'll give my wife credit for this. Nothing lingers.
On the table.
It's all right there in the moment. There's no...
Let's end this. Let's talk about it, end it, and move on.
She don't play no games.
Yeah.
Okay? Well,
we need to... you need to give the background here.
Okay.
Because we all know the story. Yeah. However, there's many out there.
Well, if you follow 975 The Fanatic on Twitch, you can hear these stories and more. Yeah.
Why'd you go Edward G. Robinson? Why'd you go bad guy 50s copper movie? But anyway, so Trey, you had the Eagles golf outing yesterday?
The NFL alumni. NFL alumni tournament that I won last year.
Trey hit his shot of his life, I think, yesterday.
Yeah, man, 160 yards out, nice little 9-iron, boom. Put it right in the hole.
That fella. But wow, that's very impressive.
Of course, he hits his 9-iron 160. Yeah.
Because not a human.
He's Zeus.
Yes. So you had to run out to do that yesterday. We had our Twitch post-show showcast, mm-hmm. and I revealed that as we're getting ready for this move, you know, you've heard me talking about the natural lawn, taking care of the lawn out there at the new house, right? Uh-huh. Well, my wife and I are packing up our current apartment to get ready to move, so we're going through some old stuff. And basically, when I moved in with my wife maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I guess it was, mm-hmm. I just basically picked up my old apartment and just moved it into the storage closet in this current apartment.
Okay.
So I haven't gone through anything in years.
Uh-huh.
Now, I will say, so about 10 years ago, my last girlfriend, because I've been with my wife for about 9 years, my last girlfriend was an artist.
Okay.
All right, she painted things.
Okay.
And she was very good. She's very talented.
Okay. Nudes? Cool.
Yeah, you would have... No nudes.
Totally okay. Nudes.
Totally nudes.
Were you one of her French girls?
Paint me like one of your French girls.
Did you do the couch thing?
Not a once.
The Costanza pose on the couch?
You guys are maniacs, all right?
I want you to give me a little bit more
I'd be
here.
Outright pissed if I was Celeste.
All right. So she...
Add some inches, baby. Add some inches.
So I...
Here's an extra 20.
Do you have enough paint? Anyway.
Don't be shy. Don't be shy.
No, don't you go there.
I don't think that canvas is big enough. So this girl I was dating years and years ago, she was an artist, and she saw a photo I had taken, a total hipster move by me, but it was I don't regret it. I don't got to answer to anybody. I took a photo of a dessert.
Oh, okay.
And this was, I was in Rome,
mm-hmm.
and I had the dessert of a cannoli and tiramisu. That's mm-hmm. right. I don't care. I was on vacation. Uh-huh. And I was in front of the Pantheon in Rome, and it was a beautiful dessert, beautiful presentation. I took a picture of it. She saw the picture, and it was like a birthday or something. She painted that photo of that dessert.
Oh, okay.
And it was a wonderful painting.
A question, my hands in the air.
Yes,
question,
Bob,
Mr. Farzetta.
Mr. Cooney in the back.
Was said painter with you on this trip to Rome?
No, she was not.
Okay.
No.
No, so, no, Brian.
This is not a souvenir. That's another box I have to go through. But anyway, so my wife sees it and she goes, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm unpacking this stuff and she sees that painting. She goes, what is that? I go, oh, that's, so-and-so painted that for me, so many years ago. Isn't that a nice painting? I knew it was coming, but I just walked right into it. I was just like, isn't that a nice painting?
I'm going to strap in and just go with it.
She was like, that's not coming to the house. I was like,
yeah.
Why not? It's art. Like, by the way, in the back of my head, I'm going,
was her hand?
In the back of my head, I'm going, I'm totally throwing this out. Like, I'm not taking this out.
But it's not worth it.
I'm like, let me just see where this goes. So she was like, oh, yeah, no, you're not. And I was like, well, but it's art. What is wrong with it?
As I said yesterday, I mean, what if the ex got hit by a bus? That thing could be worth $1 million tomorrow.
Right. You don't need to go there.
You know?
So anyway, she's like, yeah, it's not coming to the house. Now, now you're an artist, Trey.
Mm-hmm.
What's your ruling? It goes to the new house or it gets thrown out?
I mean, happy wife, happy life.
Is it 7? Yeah, Rose is listening by now.
Happy wife, happy life.
Bob, ruling?
That's not even a question. Going through the thing and you just hand it over. Like, where's the trash can? Right there. Yeah, here, put that in too.
Jamie, you've known my wife for a long time. You introduced me to my wife. What do you got?
Not worth it.
For because, a cannoli painting?
Because if she sees it in the house, she'll just, the thought process is going to continue. The lingering.
Yeah. I was like, babe, I already have a place in our living room. We'll display it prominently.
And then you have wise asses like me who would come over and be like, oh, Mark, this is very nice.
Who's this? I will say.
The work looks familiar.
I will say, my wife, God bless her, she goes, you take a picture of it.
It'll last longer.
But it was one of those things you just don't think about. And there it was. It was just prominently, well, not prominently, it was in a box in like my old apartment crap in the storage closet.
Yeah, I wouldn't bring that one to the house.
I had to test the waters. I had to be like, what do you mean? It's going to go, it's going to go right in the bathroom, right above the toilet. So everyone sees it whenever they come home. AJ and Jake in town. What's up, AJ?
Good morning, fellas.
AJ, did I do the right thing and get rid of the painting, or should I kept it?
I personally, I don't think you should have given it away. I don't think there's anything wrong with the dessert. It'd be different if it was like her naked. I'd be like, hell no.
That's a great point, AJ. That's a great point.
I mean, I understand that she obviously is very in love with you and a little territorial, but there are some things you just have to kind of be like, whatever.
AJ,
you
know? My wife is the person who'll go, I'm a Scorpio. I will fight people.
I will fight you with my tail.
Exactly.
But no, I call because I'm at this point now with Carson Wentz where all the speculation really is what they're trying to avoid this season. So I think that's why the whole back and forth about his back injury has come strictly mostly from him. Because at this point, they realized last year, all that cast a doubt around him. And then on top of the fact, he was recovering. So, and then he didn't have the protection, which is why he had a shaky year. On top of the fact that even hurt, he was still one of the top seven quarterbacks in the NFL this last year. So that should show you that he's a fighter, but it's sometimes he put himself in the line of fire, basically, sometimes. So that's why it became frustrating for him. And then the communication fell apart, and then all the rumors started. Like, everything just kind of happened like a snowball effect for him. But he needed to face adversity because he can't always be, you know, boy wonder all the time. He's going to need that help. And at the same time, when you get hurt more than once, especially the way he got hurt so early in his career, it's going to be something in the back of his mind that, you know, some of these players could be coming at me going for my knee. But at the same time now, you have to realize, though, he's from the Midwest. Homeboy will never stop fighting. So he said he's never going to change his style. So the only difference now is that he doesn't need to run if there's necessary a lane. He just has to make sure he's not throwing into traffic. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he has to make sure he's aware where everybody is in every corner of the red zone, which is what he wasn't doing because he used Zach Ertz as a crutch. And I think that's what, you know, that created all the friction.
Yeah, that's something that I think people ran away with last year. I mean, Zach Ertz, let's not act like he wasn't having a great year. And yeah, Carson might have been throwing his way a little too much. If you compare it to the previous year, it actually wasn't that bad. But I hear what you're saying, AG, but it makes me think of this. Remember last year at training camp, they said, all right, Carson's full go. And then they took him back a couple of steps after they did, like, the bodies at his feet, as they said.
And that's why they were trying to avoid that this year. They're like, we ain't touching it. We don't want to let him talk because we don't know crap. So at this point now, Doug's just like, let's just focus on other stuff, you know. And I think that this year they're just letting Carson figure it out for himself because they know now he's already got mad pressure on him. You know what I mean? And if he presses too much again, that's going to create more issues. So this year I think he's just trying to approach it mentally like, I'm okay. I got to focus. I got to get back to 2017 Carson. That's all my job is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that all these people that want to act like, you know, fair weather friends and wanted to trade him last year, stay off the Wentz wagon. Don't come back, bitches.
AJ! Damn. Yes! Shots fired!
Damn!
AJ, you're the best. Thanks so much.
Take care, guys.
Are you stay back, bitches. AJ says.
Mm-hmm.
We need that drop. And we need to save it for football season. When and if Carson comes out balling this year, people are like, oh, I always love Carson. Stay back, bitches. Boom, right there. Drop that. Drop a little AJ on him.
A little Mike Scott AJ combo there.
little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I should have asked AJ about Mike Scott sticking around.
Well, she loves him because of the tattoos.
Yeah.
Remember, we've been over this with AJ.
Oh, yeah.
Big fan.
Oh, yeah. You know who's not a big fan is Mike and KOP.
Of Mike Scott?
No, of AJ.
No. Oh, okay.
he takes shots.
What have we established that Mike does like? Cheesecake Factory cheesecake?
That is what we have established.
One thing.
And I think...
Well, his child. We'll give him two.
Okay. I think he likes sports.
Okay.
Because if he didn't have it, what would he bitch about, I guess?
Exactly.
Let's go to Mike right now. Mike, KOP, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys, I like a lot of things. We just have 2 minutes. I can't really get into it.
real quick. Other than the Cheesecake Factory, what do you really like?
I mean, I like long walks on the beach. You know,
get to your point
about it.
Cliches. So anyway,
I don't know who made Jock Sniffer from Jenkintown the arbiter.
Mike, what the hell, man? She's a lovely lady.
I don't care. I don't care who you think you are, but you don't get to tell us how we feel about our athletes.
Like, she was just saying how she felt.
No, she said, oh, if you don't like Carson Wentz, don't get on the bandwagon, bitch. It's like, you're coming to call to tell us how we cheer for our athletes or how we feel about
it. Well, that's how she feels about it, people that are abandoning ship right now.
I feel like you can feel that way about your top quarterback coming off a knee injury and then having a back injury on top of it. And back injuries are bad news.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, when they told us we're not allowed, they didn't have a timetable for his return, and now all of a sudden there's a report that no restrictions. I don't buy any of this. Like, I don't buy any of it at all. I mean, you're not going to tell me that he just came off two major injuries, and one, he didn't even have surgery to correct his back issue, and you're just going to tell me he's fine and ready to go? I'm not good with it. I don't know where he's going to be at, and I'm not expecting him to be up to form this year. And I want him to be. I mean, I want a Super Bowl with this guy. I mean, football is my favorite sport. Baseball is just. Baseball wouldn't even be a thing if it had to compete with other sports. Like every other sport would run right over it in the summer if there was another sport to compete. But I'm just saying, I want Carson to be 100%. But I don't believe in this report that he's 100% ready to go.
All right. So if you had to say for this year of our options, MVP caliber, solid, or still recovering, what would be your vote?
I think he's got so much talent that regardless of how injured he is, he's going to be solid. But I just don't think that he's going to be MVP caliber. And I hope that this team that they put around him, which looks good on paper, actually performs up to that. Mm-hmm. To that level, but I do worry about, you know, these amount of injuries and the fact that they're telling me that they want to pay him $30 million a year. No thanks. I'll wait a year and see how he looks after this year.
All right. Well, all I say though, because if you're telling me you think that this year, and you and I are on the same page actually here, Mike, I'm saying that he's going to have a solid.
All right.
Mark's having a bad day.
I'm saying he's going to have a solid year, but I am saying that he's going to have a solid year. Then that means next year, again, it all stays healthy and whatever, then he could be up to MVP caliber season again.
I think
look at optimism from you.
No, I think you always need a full year removed from an injury. And, like, he's not a full year removed from the knee injury or the back injury. Like, you know, from the knee injury, he's a full year removed.
Yes.
But from the back injury, he's not. And you know, back injuries are tricky. Like, I've had an issue with my lower back that just won't go away for 15 years now. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things that, like, if I get out of bed the wrong way, I'm going to be pretty screwed up for the rest of the day. It's just how it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you, Mike. Thanks for the call, man. And I think, you know, it's funny. Back injuries seem to be the thing that everyone can relate to.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's had affects your whole body. It's awful.
Oh, yeah. A back injury, it sucks. I had back surgery in 2005, and it's still, you know. But that's when you have to do a lot of core exercise. And then when you have a professional athlete like Carson, someone that's not going to shy away from the workload that needs to go in there. Now, of course, there are always going to be certain situations that may pop up, a little twinge, a little something, and you know it when you feel it. You know, Bob, when that little pinch hits in your back and you're like, oh no, and then it just starts locking up from there. But I think that Carson's going to do everything that he has to do all the extra core exercises that's going to have to happen, because it wasn't a surgery needing situation. He needed time to heal, which he had 6 months to get himself together. I'm pretty sure he's doing everything that he can to make sure that he's coming back ready to go. And then the training staff knows what's going on. They're going to make sure that they monitor this, make sure that they do everything that he needs to do. Probably his warm-ups during getting ready for practices and games are going to make sure that everything is strengthened and ready to go so he can go out there and perform.
All right, so if all that comes to fruition, if everything falls into place, the question that we have in our Twitter poll is whether or not you feel as if he can be an MVP caliber player again, solid quarterback, or a guy that's still going to be recovering this year. What are you expecting from Carson
Wentz? I'm expecting an MVP caliber.
Right, boom, just
right
like
out of
that.
Gate, yeah.
Wow.
Why would I just see the type of athlete that he is, the type of work that he's going to put in. He's had 6 months to sit there and study. You know, and get into, you know, to say, okay, this is how I'm going to right my wrongs. And also say, okay, we've added pieces to the receiving core. You've brought in a running back. I think he's going to come back on MVP caliber. Now it's depending on if that offensive line is going to protect him.
Mm-hmm. And I think last year, Jamie made a good point about his numbers weren't bad last year. Like, he put up some pretty good numbers last year. He wasn't even a year removed from major knee injury, and he had a broken back. Like, this guy put up really good numbers, and we all said he didn't look himself at all.
Mm-hmm.
He did not look himself. And Trey, as you pointed out so perfectly, how many times he was just getting beat up back there, and he still put up really good numbers. This guy, his talent is at another level. Give him a healthy body. Give him a 80% up healthy body. I think he's an MVP caliber player of the year.
He had a career high quarterback rating last year. Passer rating last year.
Yeah.
102. I believe at the time of his injury, he was third, maybe fifth in the NFL.
Sounds right.
Like, I remember the point I had, my big takeaway from when they finally announced that he was injured and that Nick Foles was going to take over the starting reins again, was that the Eagles have an absolute baller at quarterback. A stud. Mm-hmm. A guy that could be top five quarterback in the league with a broken back and still recovering from a knee injury.
Yeah, optically it wasn't his best. Like, there was opportunities he had to win games and didn't. But you just chalk that up now, looking back on it, as, well, the dude was playing with a broken back.
Yeah.
It's insane.
As early as maybe the Minnesota game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
which was week five, I believe, of the season. Playing with it for that long?
Pretty impressive.
Guy was getting out there.
He does have to protect himself more this year and going forward. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, but
the whole line is going to have to protect him as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, I mean, and I think now he can help himself by getting rid of that ball a lot quicker, make your reads, all right, bam, there you go. Because now you have D-Jack that can take the top off the defense, so that should open up a lot of stuff underneath. And then, okay, if they're cluttering what's underneath, then go over the top, get rid of the ball. You know, don't sit around there dancing around and you're trying to make a decision at the last minute, because then now that's when you get your head knocked out.
Yeah, the one thing I'd like to see from him more is just throw it away when it calls for it.
Yeah, when it's not there.
Yeah.
Just get rid
like
of it.
You can't force it in this league because they're too big, too fast, too athletic. They'll hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, they will.
Yeah, and when you hang on to it till the last second, I admire it, but I need you for 10, 12 years, not 6 years and a back issue.
Yeah, you do not need Carson taking on any hits.
No, and that's where he has
to
improve.
You just get out of bounds, slide, protect yourself, do everything that you, no fighting to try to get that extra yard.
Yeah, just, we know you can do it, dude, but your longevity is more important.
It's way more important.
I have a lot more confidence in the O-line protecting Carson than Carson protecting Carson.
So do I.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I would like to say that he'll be smart enough to adapt and all that stuff and he'll mature as a quarterback, I just think that's the way he plays.
He's a gladiator. I mean, you know, he's just one of those type of guys that you're going to put him in there and he's going to give you everything that he has. I mean, you know, you can't fault him for that. You want a player that's going to give you everything that he has, but, you know, he means so much to the team that you just need him to, like, hey, just slide right here.
Yeah.
Throw it out of bounds, you know. But then you have quarterbacks sometimes, they're like, you know, that's going to mess up my completion.
Exactly.
You know, let me try to get, you know. But, hey, man, you got to be smart because it's all about, you know, longevity and getting into the playoffs and making that run.
What skill would you more want to give to an athlete? The ability to slide to Carson Wentz or the ability to shoot a jump shot to Ben Simmons? 610-632-0. Coming up in a minute here, we're going to get into, I almost said Ben Simmons. Coming up, we're going to get into the Phillies win last night. Listen to this, 9 o'clock, okay, about an hour and 20 minutes from now, we're going to talk to our own Andrew Salchunas. Jamie spoke to his people. He was able to get him on at 9 o'clock, a host of the baseball show here on The Fanatic. And we're going to talk some Phillies baseball with him. But coming up, we'll walk through some of the stuff that the Phillies were able to do last night in a great victory. That was almost an awful loss at Wrigley Field. And some of the changes that they made to Wrigley, we'll get into that as well coming up here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, everybody, for Zeta and Trey in the Morning, 610-632-0975. Trying to pull up this tweet from Adam Schefter here, as he has reported. Malcolm Jenkins, who was not present for the team offseason workout program for the first time in his career, also a no-show today for the start of Philadelphia's organized team activities. Per a source, Jenkins is one of the NFL's most respected players. Absence is notable, goes without saying.
He has become the 10th highest paid starting safety in the league now, which is low. You know, your team leader, you know, is that what it's all about? Trey, I'm anxious to hear what you have to say on this, because I know you're put your head down and just play. I was really upset with Fletcher Cox 2 years ago, the year of the Super Bowl win. Before that season, he signed a $100 million deal and doesn't show up. And I did. I said, no, you have to be there just to show. He didn't show up, and they wound up winning the Super Bowl, which shows how much I know. But what's your feeling on it, Trey? Both is, how would you handle it if you were Malcolm Jenkins? And how do you as a teammate look at it? At Malcolm Jenkins.
As a teammate, you never really, you know, you're like, whatever. You know, if he's not there, then it gives somebody else another chance to get in there. You know that Malcolm is going to do everything that he's supposed to be doing. He's not one of those guys that's not going to be there and not work out. So, you know, he's doing everything that he needs to be doing off the field, you know, to get himself together. So I think players aren't really worried about it. As someone that's going through it, you know, I never was in a situation where I had to try to hold out for a contract situation, but I get it. That's the business of football.
Right.
You know, you want to get paid. You want to, you know, you're putting your body at risk every time you get out there on that field. And this is someone that, Jamie, I think you were saying he's made over 90% of the plays.
He played in like 98.5% of the plays in his time as an Eagle. It's actually unbelievable what he's done.
So, I mean, you know. This is just the business of the game. And, you know, of course you want to get paid for what you're doing. I mean, you understand that you're a team leader, so you want to be, you know, rewarded for that financially, you know, what you mean to this team.
And this offseason, I think, was a big reason why, because you saw some funny money get thrown around to safeties. You know how, like, the NFL is kind of, like, cyclical, like, different positions. You know, your tackles and quarterbacks are always going to get paid. And then other things kind of, like, shift and are ever flowing. Now it seems like safeties are getting paid highly again. When Malcolm signed, they weren't. He's making, I think it's about $8.75 million. You saw Tyrone Mathieu, the Honey Badger, Landon Collins this year get funny money. They each got about $14 million plus some nice signing bonuses. So Malcolm's looking at that going, all right, now I'm severely underpaid. I've been the backbone of this defense and team. I'm a leader, you know, yada, yada, yada. I understand why he's doing it.
Malcolm's like, I'm also playing linebacker, you bastards.
Yeah, I've done everything for you. Just guarantee me some more money. This is probably my last big, you know, chance at making some cash. So pay me.
Certainly. And he's still, 29 years old? He hasn't been 30 yet.
Trey and I were trying to do it in the elevator down last. We think he's entering his ninth season because he did five with the Saints, I believe, and this would be his fourth with the Eagles. So, you know, he's approaching that time where, you know, every last dollar he can milk out of the NFL is to be considered.
Yeah, and the other part of it is that, again, you go back to that leadership aspect. It's not just that he plays well on the field at a Pro Bowl level, but he is also the guy that is the captain, like you said, the captain of your defense.
Yeah, and if I'm a teammate, I'm going, oh, go get your money, Malcolm.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be fazed by it at all.
And just because this is
31.
Is he 31?
He's 31, yeah.
Think about how long ago he was at Ohio State. Like, it's a while.
Wow, I didn't think he was
32 in December.
Oh, his play doesn't match up with his age because he doesn't miss plays. He's on everything. He plays linebacker, safety, cornerback. He does it all. So he doesn't look like a 31-year-old.
Just before we really jump into this season, just so everybody has it, here it is. The definition of voluntary is done, given, or acting on one's own free will. So that, there you go. It's voluntary. Yeah. Also, I didn't know this. As a noun, an organ solo played before, during, or after a church service. Anybody else know that?
I didn't know.
I did not know that. No. I did not know that. 610-632-0975. Here's what's not voluntary. The Phillies. They're not voluntary. They have to play well, especially in this series against the Cubs, where it's a huge measuring stick. I was surprised. This is as close to a emotional hot take you could possibly get from Jason Stark when we had him on yesterday. But he said it. This is a barometer. This is a measuring stick for the rest of the season. This is something where you can really see how good your ball club is going up against an upper echelon team like the Chicago Cubs. Four-game series at Wrigley Field, and the Phillies took care of business last night. Little shaky, and we'll jump into how exactly it got shaky yesterday. So we'll talk about that in a second, but there is one thing that stuck out to me yesterday about the game.
Besides how much you hate Jimmy Rollins?
Jimmy wasn't in the booth last night. Nah. And I love Jimmy Rollins.
That's why you're so happy today.
No, it was, I mean, have we all been to Wrigley?
No.
Yes,
no.
I have, but for a non-Phillies game.
Bob and Trey have not been to Wrigley?
No.
I was there both times. It was not for a Phillies game.
I liked it better than Fenway and Yankee Stadium.
What'd you go for?
Original Yankee Stadium?
Yes, original Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, the original Yankee Stadium didn't do anything for me.
Nah, it was kind of...
I went there twice, and I was like,
I think Wrigley's the cream of the crop of Major League Baseball
stadiums. Yes, I'm still a Fenway guy.
Are you?
Yeah.
I love Fenway. Fenway's awesome.
Right, I'm not saying it's like... You know, but
Wrigleyville and like the whole area, it's just so cool.
Oh, Yawkey Way.
But then you got Bostonites around you. And that's a problem.
I do prefer the Chicago people more so.
They're much nicer.
Exactly. I feel like they're much more real. It's like the passive aggressive Midwest nice type of thing. It's like they're genuinely nice people in Chicago.
Yeah.
Like Minnesota, passive aggressive. They're condescending. They ain't fooling me. But Chicago, great people. Love Chicago, right? But I'm watching the game yesterday, and I went for just a vacation, Bob, just with some buddies.
Right.
We hadn't been to Wrigley, and we wanted to go to Wrigley, so we went. Fenway Park, and Jamie can attest to this as well, that was our playground for like 3 days.
That was awesome.
We were working a Winter Classic for NBC years ago, Flyers Bruins.
Right.
It was great. It was incredible. But Wrigley Field is one of the hollow grounds in baseball, and I just went out there twice for a vacation, just taking a game at Wrigley, right, with some friends and family, whatever. So I'm watching the game yesterday, one of the most historic buildings in all of sports, and it's unrecognizable.
Yeah, they changed around
on the outside of it wasn't recognizable. The inside, like the scoreboards, fine. You have scoreboards, electronic Fantavision. It's about time they made the upgrade. I have no problem with that. But I also saw something that I never thought I would ever see in a million years at Wrigley Field, and it wasn't even about the Fantavision, the ones, the new scoreboards on Fantavision. They had an apology. This is something I never thought I'd ever see. Did you see this yesterday during the game? It said, "We apologize for the inconvenience. Our center field scoreboard is having technical difficulties."
Yeah, you saw Kyle Schwarber on third base at one point. He couldn't tell what the count was. I guess on the other peripheral scoreboards, it didn't have it. And he was looking around the Chicago dugout like, "Can somebody give me the count here?" He's like, "Is it 3-1, 3-2? And like, it was because center field was out.
But... technical difficulties for what was for a billion years a man, like self-manned scoreboard.
Yeah.
Not
technology,
only
technology, baby.
Not only do I have to deal with the Phillies blowing a 3-1 lead and then later winning, which was great, but the outside, the exterior of Wrigley Field, the hollow grounds of Wrigley Field, different. And not only have to deal with that, but the Fantavision, and it looks like rooftop seats are also blocked out now because of that. But also the center field scoreboard, one of the most beautiful things in all of sports. Technical difficulties? Now that's
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.